everybody. Thank you for joining us for PB's last service. If you'll excuse my voice, it's not great right now. All right, we got a couple announcements before we get started. For lunch, we're having tacos. Thank you to Life Church and then those two people up there for bringing them. Please join us out in that area over there for lunch right after the service. Okay, so college students, this is finals week. This space is open from 7:30 a.m. to 10 p.m. PB is going to have a lot of snacks here. If you need a place to study, work on homework, whatever, this is it. Monday, 9 to 10 p.m., PB is going to be doing made-to-order omelets. So if you're here for finals week, if you want an after-dinner snack, come get an omelet. It's just going to be in the kitchen area over there. We're doing a camping trip from May 14th through the 15th at Pawnee State Park. Grace, where are you? Hi, Grace. If you want to talk to Grace about it, she'll have more details for you. It's $10. If you want to join our group meet and stay updated on school year activities, summer activities, there's a QR code on the back table. And then if you're graduating and you want to stay in contact with the chapel, there's a sign up also on the back table. Just let us know.
All right, Mona. Okay, as people file in, we'll set up tables. We're a place of chaos, which is always awesome. And there are some cheap seats up here in the front. So, yeah, we always begin. We believe that we're a family, and part of being a family is getting to know one another. And the New Testament church really did know each other. So a part of that is by standing up, saying hi, meeting somebody new, trying to learn their name, maybe eating lunch with them. And we always start with a question. It's part of our culture here. So here's the question for you. Describe your mom or a mother-like person in your life. What life lesson, the big life lesson, did you learn from her? Now you got about 40 seconds. Go, 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 go. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, may your Spirit fill this place. We call upon you as our God in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to fill this room with meaning, with hope, with encouragement, with correction. We want life. We want clarity. And so, Lord, we come together and we gather as your people Fill this room with your Spirit. In your name we pray, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Wow, man. Man. Woo. Thank you guys for showing up and being a part of our service today. The New Testament was full of creeds. The early church memorized short sections of the Bible, and when they gathered for worship, they would repeat them to each other. We have the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed, but often in our worship, we'll use a biblical creed. It's something to just remind us of what it means to be the core of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So this is in Romans chapter 5. Let's say it together. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Amen. The text for today is from Philippians, and I chose it because Paul's in prison, and he's looking over his relationship with this baby church in Philippi, and he thinks about the quality of their relationships and their friendships, and he's thinking about three things that he's so thankful for and grateful for. And then the verbs of this text shift to the future. And then he's speaking three very clear words of blessing to this baby church. And as I thought of myself in this being the service that it is, it was just a great fit for me to think back and to be thankful for you and how much you guys have made an impact on my life and I've made an impact on your life. And then also to think in the future, right? To think forward to God's blessing and God's work. And so here's the text. It's from Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. And then he's going to name three things. He's thankful and full of joy for three different things, three specific things. Here's the first thing. It's the partnership that he has with them. Verse 5, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. I landed on that verse and I thought, this is a text that just fits me, fits this weekend, so just the partnership of what it's been like over these years being in campus ministry. And thinking about just this last semester, man, I've been so blessed by great partnerships. You know, there's a thing in campus ministry that if you don't have great students, student leaders, students who are willing to love and invest on other students, you really don't have much of a ministry. Because Mark and I, as staff people, we cannot reach students. It's students that reach students. And so I'm just like been so blessed by people like this girl named, this girl named Grace. Man, Grace is this awesome girl. So Grace is one of our small group leaders. And watching Grace come into this space, she loves on these girls. And I'll ask Vanita, like, how did your group grow? And Grace is just a great leader. She loves on these girls. She invests in these girls. She makes meals for these girls. So we've had some just great partnerships. Grant Klein is an awesome dude. Jacob Groffelsman, he's an awesome, awesome dude. I know I'm not going to remember everyone's name, but Tyler Miller, man, if I had a single daughter, never mind Tyler Miller. But just great people. Paige Trudnick, we have an awesome president Paige Trutnant is a fantastic human being. And Kaylee. So there's just great, great partnerships. And so I just, when I think about you guys, I see so much Jesus in you. You know, isn't that just so much Jesus? In realizing that you guys are reaching out to people on your floors, in your intramurals, in the places where you live, work, and play. And there's a partnership. And it's just a beautiful thing. One of the great things of campus ministry is going on mission trips and getting to know you and going on hiking trips and community service Sunday. And the partnership that we have when we sweat together and we're cleaning somebody's, you know, basement that got flooded or whatever. And just the joy of being in the work of Jesus together. So that's the first thing that the Apostle Paul talks about in terms of, like, I'm just so grateful for the partnership that we have together. The second thing is this. He's thinking back, and he's reminding himself that God finishes what God starts. Verse 6. And I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. What God starts, he finishes. This is a really important thing because Paul's in prison, and just later in this section, Paul goes on a mental trail with his new church saying, you know, I may be executed in jail. I don't know if I'm going to die, and I don't know if I'm going to be released. And then he says, if I die, that's good. I'll be with Jesus. But if I'm released, that's good too. Then I'll be able to hang out with you guys and be in great ministry. But here's his point to this church. It's not about me. It's not about me. I could die. I could be released. It's not about me. Because what God starts, God finishes. What God starts, God finishes. This has been a place that has allowed me. It's a place where we are very much all works in progress. One of the blessings, I've been part of this community, and it wasn't me. I came into this culture. A culture of honesty and openness and vulnerability that it was just really kind of, to be frank, it was startling, shocking, but really, really attractive. Where you're with people and you're prayer walking with people and they begin to talk to you about some of the problems that they're having and their addictions that they're having. And you know what? We're all works in progress. And the Lord works things out. This ministry has helped me work out my own theology, work out my own heart. This ministry has helped me actually work out my own marriage. We're all works in progress. And I love, when I look out upon you, a lot of you, I did a fair number of your weddings. And you know, it's just a great thing to know. Here you are, years later, many babies. You guys are good at graduating and making babies. And it's like the Lord's still working in your life. And the Lord is still building your marriages, and the Lord is still teaching you what it looks like to forgive, and it's tough, and to love and to serve one another. The Lord continues to work. In the words of we have great neighbors, and one thing that we love dearly about our neighbors is that whenever I need a tool, I can always borrow something from them, and they throw fantastic parties. College students, you are pathetic at parties. But in the words of one of our neighbors, she's a prophetic voice in all of our lives. You know, she reminds me often, Shell Cat is her name. So you're in great hands, just not your own. And that's true. We're all works in progress. So the third thing, as Paul is thinking back to this baby church and thinking about, just she's so grateful and full of thanksgiving, is that the third thing is that God's grace, his he holds your hand. He's holding your hand, and it's a loving hold. It's a grip on your life through good times and through bad times. He's preparing this baby church because he knows that as he's been in prison and suffering, the church in Philippi goes through tremendous suffering. A lot of the book is about just being able to weather the persecution and the suffering that's coming their way. And God's grace is going to carry you through good times and bad times. Verse 7. So it's right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share in God's grace, his incredible love with me, both in my imprisonment, the bad times, and in the good times, in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ. He's reminding this church that they have a bond, that God's grace is the super glue in their life. And when life goes good or when life goes bad, God's grace does not change. And we have this bond that's bigger than even our love for Huskers. We have a bond that's bigger than our enjoyment for the same hobbies and all of that. The bond that we have is that we, and I love the words, we share. We share in God's grace. You know, we don't ever own it. You can't store it up, you know. You can't. Grace is meant to be shared. The love of God that has filled my life is meant for me to be an agent of love in the lives of others, right? We share in God's grace. And really what I think about, when I think about the words sharing in God's grace, sharing in this undeserved love that Jesus has for a defiant, often reckless, aloof, sometimes selfish Bill Steinbauer, that what it really means is that how much we need Jesus. When I'm sharing in God's grace with you, it's like I need Christ Jesus and you need Christ Jesus. And we're realizing that our lives are just not complete in any way without our need for Christ Jesus. That's one of the things, if I can look back on ministry, one of the greatest joys I have is prayer walking with you and just meeting you on campus, hearing how your day is going, hearing how your week is going, and then at some point just praying for you and sharing in God's grace. And reminding you, and we use this all right? Reminding you that you are the son of a great king. You're the daughter of a great king. And that you are loved, that Jesus died for you, he rose for you, he gave his life for you, he's coming back for you. And I know that whatever problems we're facing in this moment or whatever joys we're facing in this moment, all of that is put into perspective because of our foundation of who we are in Jesus Christ. Sharing in God's grace, being in the midst of each other's fears and insecurities and failures and futures, all the places where we don't have easy answers and yet Christ does. So those are the three things. As Paul is looking back on this church, he's like, wow, what a great thing. Now the verbs in this go to future tense verbs. And so I think what he's doing is he's offering them a blessing. And there's three of them. He's thinking about his dreams and outcomes and desires for them. Verse 9, he's praying a dream of overflow, a life of overflowing. Verse 9, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. He's wanting for them an abundant life, a life that's overflowing. I tend to struggle with being negative. I have to really remind myself often that there's never once in anywhere, you know, from entire scripture, there's no word in the Bible that says that God is a God of discouragement. Never. It's not in there. And so I have to remind myself that in Christ Jesus, do you realize the Spirit of Jesus, there's a verse that says this, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the grave now lives in Bill Steinbauer, now lives in you. So you're already hardwired to a life of overflowing because the Spirit of Jesus who raised him from the dead lives in you. A life of overflowing. And I think that, what does that look like for us on campus? I think we say this a lot here, right? We want to be the very best friends on this campus. We want to love people, care for people, listen for people. We want to be available to others, people who believe and who behave vastly different than the ways of Jesus. Doesn't matter. We're coming after you, and we want to be the very best of friends. A life of overflowing, because we have Christ in us. We have so much to offer, so much to offer. And I think about being on the receiving end of you guys overflowing. So one of the greatest gifts that you guys have given me and Vanita over many years, our kids were raised here. I mean, they were... You know, I got here, we got married, and we started making babies right away. And our kids were raised in this ministry. And I look out among you and like, you guys helped raise our girls. They sat on your lap around barbecues. You know what I mean? They hiked up mountains with you guys. And I just remember our girls, when they were young, coming home from church or whatever, they would be like, Dad, you're not going to believe this. What? You know the girl with the long red hair and the pink dress? I go, yeah. She talked to me at lunch today. And then, you know, there was this element of like, you guys, this ministry loved on my girls. You lived in the overflow of their life. And I'm just a proud parent to know that, A, my girls actually love each other. They love Jesus. They love the church. And a big part of that is because you guys have invested in them all those years. So he's praying a life of overflowing. The second thing he says in this, I've only got two more and then I'm done, so hang in there, is a life of clarity, a blessing of clarity. Verse 10, for I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. He wants them to have a clarity, to know what really matters. We have so much noise in our lives that bark at us about what it means to truly matter. And we're in a sea, we're literally swimming in an ocean of grabbing after, of getting. We are swimming in an ocean of comparing ourselves to others. And constantly on the lookout, we're looking over the shoulder at what might be next and what might be better. Oh, it's just a heavy way to live. And Jesus says, I want you to know what really matters, having a sense of clarity. And the meaningful life is, he doesn't want them to settle for lesser dreams or shrink to compromise, but he wants them to know that their life has substance because of who Christ Jesus is, though it really matters. I've had the opportunity to work with Marky for 15 years, right? There or so. And we, pretty much every Wednesday, 9 o'clock, I'm usually about 20 minutes late, we pray walk on campus. And we've done this for 15 years. And it's been such a great thing because he's been an anchor to me into what really, really matters. Marky is, if there's anything that Marky's taught me, it's like, we could have an event like a barbecue or an ethnic food festival, and 300 people show up, but we don't have any real significant conversations with anybody. And that's not a win. We can have another thing, and 3 students show up, and we have great conversations. Marky would say that's a win. What really matters is people, building into people. And one of the things that he's been a huge help for me is every week, I'm telling you, every week, right? We pray for our wives. And I've gotten into that rhythm of like, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the goodness of our wives and the beauty of our wives. We pray for you every week, Leanna. And it's like, you know, and it always goes down to kind of a similar road. It's like, you know, the greatest gift any human being on this side of this side of eternity, the greatest gift anybody can give is that, you know, another person is dedicated to us. And so we just thank God for you. And that's what really matters, is that, you know, we are in the receiving end of the blessing of just strong, smart, capable, loving wives. And so that's what Paul wants. He wants them to have moments of clarity when they know what really matters. And so I'm just kind of being a prophetic voice here. This may not land, but it may land on you. If there's someone in your life that you need to forgive, that's a big deal. That's something that really matters. If you're holding a grudge, that's a big deal. That's really something that matters. Christ Jesus wants freedom for you in that. If there's an area where you are looking for your substance and joy, if you're caught into an addiction, if you're wrapped up in something that's not honoring to Christ, that's a big deal. That matters to Christ. And today's the day where you have the clarity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus, and you know that the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Now's the day to sort of get help and to look out what's your next right step in the midst of living in a more clear life. The last thing, and I'm done, okay? I'm landing the plane here. It's a life of security. So he talks about overflow, clarity, and security. Verse 11, May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation. When I think of the idea of being filled, that's security. I'm not scrambling or striving or searching or lacking. I'm not keeping score. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. So this will bring much glory and praise to God. What the Apostle Paul wants for them is a life of security, that they are saved. There are people who are saved. What Jesus did for them on the cross is done, and what Jesus has done for you on the cross, it's done. See, that's the thing. We keep score, right? That's kind of that's what was going on in this baby church, and that's where our sinful human nature always goes. We keep score because we think God keeps score. God is keeping score. Am I being good enough today to be good with God? And some days I feel okay about myself, and other days I feel miserable about myself, right? And so when I'm keeping score with God, then, oh, I got to do better. I got to be better. You know what I mean? And I got to try harder. If you're hearing the gospel for the very first time, let me just say that's not how God's heart is for you. God does not keep score. Everything that's scorable landed right on Jesus, right on the cross, and he paid for it once and for all. And so the score is totally settled. There's a Bible verse that says this: he who had no sin became sin for you, and he died the death that you deserve and rose the life that you don't deserve, because that's how he keeps score. It's completely forgiven and completely free, okay? But he wants them to have this fruit, this being filled with the fruit of salvation and this element of security, this righteous character. So I want to leave you with that sense of like, all right, Lord Jesus, I'm yours today. I have this sense of security, I have the sense of clarity, and I have the sense of overflow because you keep your promises. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right. Woohoo! So part of what we try to do here is we want to take the teaching of God's word and give it momentum throughout your week to have you thinking about something. And I mentioned that there are three things that the Apostle Paul thanks this baby church for, and then he blesses this baby church for. So I want you to think, who in your life can you thank or bless this week? Who in your life can you thank or bless this week? You have a card in front of you. It's meant to be ripped. You write a person's name on both sides. You rip it off, like the ancient Israelites who brought their offering to the temple. You put half of your card in the basket. The other half of your card you put in your wallet to remind you. This week, you got to write a letter. This week, you got to make a phone call. You got to thank or bless somebody this week, okay? There's also a place for your name and your email. If you want to give us your name, we'll put you in our email list, and we'll send you out an email each week about what we're doing. That's what that's for. So we call this setting aside. Take your time, and when you're done, just come up on your own and put your offering in the basket, all right?
Light to
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your greatness. Lord, we pray over this offering. We pray that these would be so much more than just our intentions, just letters on paper. But Lord, help us to be a force of good. Help us to be people that are overflowing in the lives of others. We want to be grateful. We realize that we have not built the lives that we have on our own. So many people that you have placed in our life around us to cherish us, to encourage us, to feed us, to house us. Lord, we are on the receiving end of so much generosity of others. Help us to be thankful and to express gratitude. Lord, we pray as we approach Holy Communion that you would build in us a heart of confession. We want to acknowledge all of the ways in which we're not grateful, the ways in which we're not overflowing but stingy. So, Lord, help us to be people of repentance. It's not a downer thing. It's not a beat ourselves up thing. Repentance is about honesty, coming before you and realizing that we need a Savior because we are sinful. So help us to think about our thoughts, our actions, or our fail to act. Help us to think, Lord, about the big stuff, the repeated stuff, the little stuff, the stuff that we love to hide. And in the quietness of this moment, may your Spirit guide us to honesty and clarity. Help us to name it and to own it and to know that you already know the very best and the worst of us. And so we don't confess our sins out of fear, but we confess our sins because it allows us to experience freedom. Freedom from our past, freedom from our mistakes. And so hear us in the quietness of this moment, Lord Jesus, as we confess our sins. Lord Jesus, I think about how hard it would be to be a child and have parents who scare me, parents who are unwilling to hear my apology, unwilling to receive what is the less part of pleasing about me. And I think about what a child would feel like if they lived in constant fear of never measuring up, and the fear of just living in the constant state of disapproval from parents who are just harsh and overbearing. Lord, we're free from all of that because you are our Savior and Lord, and we can confess our sins here on Sunday morning. We can confess them, and we shut off the radio in our car, and we're driving to work, and we realize that there's an element of our heart that's just not good, and we can confess our sins in our car, on our way to class. So we pray, Lord, that you'd give us a rhythm of being honest and confessing our sins so we don't have to carry the load of all that junk. We're a people of overflowing, and we can't live the life of clarity and goodness when we're dealing with all the baggage of our life. So give us freedom from that, Lord Jesus, and allow us to develop the rhythm of repentance. In your name we pray, amen. I think that, and that's my opinion, at the height of any Christian worship service is the word of absolution. It's the word of forgiveness. I like music. You guys have been great. And thank you for leading worship all semester long. These guys have been awesome. And there's other parts of the team that are out there. And I just want to say thank you to you guys for leading worship. Worship's awesome. Sometimes the preacher doesn't stink too terribly bad. But the best part of any Christian worship service is the absolution. It's kind of the pinnacle, where you just hear another word of the truth of Jesus' love for you. And I often use words from the Bible. Here's one from Colossians chapter 1. Once, Paul writes, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Ouch. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. You are free and forgiven in Christ Jesus. Every bit of what you just confessed has already landed on Jesus on the cross. You know, when we do things that are hurtful, they actually go somewhere. Our sin actually goes onto Jesus on the cross. He actually took in his body all of my arrogance. It's there. It's not floating around and it's not sticking to me. It's actually found its rightful place on Christ Jesus. And in him taking that burden of my crap, he now declares me to be free and forgiven of all that. So I can learn from my past. I can actually be stupid and repeat my past. But in Christ Jesus, I'm actually free from my past. I am fully, thanks brother, fully forgiven. And that's who we are as God's people. So let's receive that. Let's receive that. We got to preach the gospel to ourselves a lot, because a lot of the stuff we do in life just sticks to us, and it's not its rightful place. The rightful place of all that is already on Christ Jesus. So do I hear an amen? You're forgiven?
Amen.
All right. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body. It's given for you. Do this to remember me." And in the same way also, he took a cup of wine, he blessed it, he gave it to his disciples, he said, "Drink of it, all of you. This wine is my blood. It's given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. It's a new covenant," which is the same word as promise. And again, he said, "Do this often to remember me." And so we gather together as God's people because we want to obey Jesus. And he said, do it often, and we want to do it often. Jesus also said that this is my body and is my blood. Jesus knew the word symbolize very well. He did not use that word. He used the word is. So we believe in faith that this meal is a sacrament, which is the same word as mystery. It is the body and blood of Christ, and I don't know how that all works. But he wants to locate himself for me, because I can read in a book that I'm loved and forgiven, but now Jesus wants me to chew it and swallow it and digest it. And so he wants his presence to come into me in a way that I can actually get and figure out. And so he gives us this meal so that we can be reminded that when he went to the cross, he went to the cross for you. When he shed his blood, he went to shed his blood for you. It's just another way of being reminded of his love for you. Now, if you've never been instructed about Holy Communion, if you're not a believer in Jesus, or if what I'm saying sounds not right to you based on Scripture, I would love to have coffee with you, and we can talk about it and be friends about it, but it's perfectly okay for you to stay in your seat and not come forward. We don't do this in an organized way. You come when you want. But I would say that the line would grow, so just wait till the line goes down, and it's okay to not wait in line for 50 people. But what we're going to do is we're going to have bread and wine over here. You're going to come this way, receive your bread and wine, come into this middle section, and there's a basket that'll be in the middle here. You'll put your empty cup in this basket that'll be right here. You guys come this way. You'll get bread and wine here. Come into the middle place and put your basket, your thing in the basket right here. Any questions? Pretty good? Okay. Give yourself a little time, pray, and then come to the Lord's Supper.
Oh, sinner, come kneel.
May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Okay, I want to have a time of prayer, and then we're going to have lunch together. And this is going to be a little bit different, but that's okay. So I would really like for a few current students to pray over Benita and myself, okay? And so I think I've asked Kaylee and Paige and, I don't know, Grace. I don't know where you are. Grace, do you want to pray? James, can you pray? Grant, can you pray? And over Mark and Leanna. So we're going to come here, and then you guys, if you could, it'd be great to just stand where you're at and just yell it out. Is that possible? Okay, then I want former students to pray for current students. And who's willing to do that? I mean, you're going to stand where you're at and pray it out. Andrew, can you do it, big boy? All right, who else? Who else can do it? All right, anybody else? Okay, you have to come in the space. And then anybody else? We got three. And you can pray for anything you want. Okay, Ed. Pray that God guides the process of whatever looks next in this ministry. Pray for our student leaders. Pray for our witness on campus. Pray for Marky and Leanna as they learn a new normal, and pray for us as we learn a new normal. Okay, is that good? And then I'll close this off with two different prayers, Mother's Day prayer, and I'm going to pray for the issue of just our country, especially in the area of the tension with the abortion issue. And then we'll close it off with the Lord's Prayer. Sound good? All right. Paige, you start us off, and I'll finish it. Ready? And you got to yell. You got to go loud. Come on, girl. Okay. We thank you for the beauty of this day and for the gift of mothers. Help us to be honoring and cherishing and to speak, to actually speak up and let our mothers know how precious they are to us, that they are gifts from you to us. And so on this day, Lord, help us to step up to the plate and be mindful and to be clear, to take the time and the energy to just let our desires known to those who are closest to us, especially our mothers. Lord, we lift up this campus. We pray that you would help us to be light and salt on this campus. We know that we are people of hope and we are people of joy, and so help us to be winsome in our sharing of our faith and letting other people know that we have meaning in life because you have given it to us. And so help us to be salt and light on this campus. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray that you would bring about civility and order in this whole issue of abortion. Lord, we know that life is precious to you and that all life is precious. So remind us, Lord God, that the folks who have different views about abortion, especially those who are in favor of abortion, that their life matters to you as well. And so, Lord, we want to treat them with dignity and kindness and respect because you love them just as much as you love us. And so, Lord, I pray for that kind of heart towards others that you would grant us. Lord, we also pray for Ukraine. We lift this up every week, that there would be peace there. We pray that there would be the end of war and violence. Continue to protect those who are suffering and allow those who are coming in with food and care to be protected as well. We lift all of these things in your great name, the name that is above every name, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is this on?
It is.
Okay. I wanted to thank you guys all for coming. I feel like campus ministry is like a river that just keeps flowing, that people are coming and going in all different directions. And I know that I'm just thankful to see this place not only full, but actually we have overflow in this room. So that was very fitting. And I know there's probably over 1,000 people that would have loved to also be here from other states, from other countries, that, and it's Mother's Day. So this is like the perfect amount of enough for today.
Given that she made a lot of the food.
I did make a lot of the food. Yeah. And when I planned for, based on the numbers I was seeing, 150 to 200. So as people started coming, I thought, this is the point where we make more rice and stretch the beans. So there is, I think, plenty of food, and we're going to, we've prayed over this because we've seen it at chapel events a number of times where it's like, we don't really know how many people are coming for sure, and then we'll make it work. So please do stay and eat. There's enough food for everybody. You might not be totally stuffed. You can't try every single dessert, but you can for sure have one or two. And we will need to use this space probably as our main place to eat. There's tables in the back. So if, probably what we'll have to do, I think, is let over half of the people go first. So Mona's always first. She gets to eat first. And then families with kids that are hungry, please get into the line and start getting your food. And then people that are very capable of setting up tables and putting chairs around, we'll use that to help stage. And in the meantime, we do have a bunch of photos that came in the last week. And Chad was so kind to put them to music, so we can take the next few minutes and enjoy some photos.
So just clarity, is that happening before lunch or during lunch, the photos?
No,
just
that's, yeah.
Oh, well, we got
to... So everybody can see it.
Oh, okay.
So if you can't see the screen and you're in the back, you might want to come forward so you can see. Then after that's over, if you're very capable of setting up tables, we'll stay in here and do that. Right? If you have little kids, and it would be better to get up. We also need most of the space cleared so we can do that. So you don't need to just stay in here unless you can set up tables.
All right. So we're going to have a blessing, a closing song, and then pictures. Is that right?
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Yes. All right.
I don't know how to turn that off.
Okay. All right, so let's stand. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
Who the sun we used to serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
All right, let's have lunch together. And if you're at all around in Lincoln the next couple weeks, I would love to meet up with you. So I don't start my new role at Christ. It's the Director of Caregiving and Outreach to June 1st. And so I have a wedding in there, so we'll be gone for a few days. And so, but thanks a lot for being here. This is a great day. I just am so touched by your just taking the time to be here. And Vanita and I are just deeply touched. So thanks a lot, you guys. Appreciate it very much. So let's have lunch together.
On your